Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hi there, it's Selina here. I am flying solo today. And I've invited onto the show today Naomi Mdudu, founder of The Lifestyle Edit, which is an amazing platform showcasing incredible female entrepreneurs, really also now starting to help all female entrepreneurs understand what it takes to really make a business thrive. And Naomi has such a natural talent for this. I invited her onto the show because Naomi has such an interesting story, such an inspiring story about bringing about big change in her life. She became a fashion editor at the ripe old age of 23 and was very much living her dream life, or what she thought was going to be her dream life, in London. And then within a few years, she realized that she was so utterly miserable in every area of her life. She was exhausted. She was burnt out. Something or many things were going to have to radically change in her life. And so she set about transforming basically every area of her life, from her relationship to where she lived to her career. She started The Lifestyle Edit, became her own boss, and she has never looked back. And now she is helping other people, other women, to thrive in their own businesses. And so we have just got so much to learn from her. Someone who goes through that kind of change, I think, is always has so much to teach us, because it takes such courage to go, I know on paper I've got the most amazing life, but I am not happy. I'm miserable, and my mental and emotional health is being affected by this, and I have to make change, and I have to make big change. To go through that process and to do it in such a wonderful way, and to come out the other side and flourish, we all have something to learn from that kind of journey. And Naomi is an amazing storyteller of other people's stories, but it turns out also a fantastic storyteller of her own story. So I was so energized after this podcast. I hope you will be too. Enjoy.
Welcome, Naomi. Hi.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. As you know, I love everything that you guys do. And you were one of the first podcasts I ever listened to. So I feel like it's all coming full circle.
I love that. And now here you are on the podcast show. Oh, and there's so much to talk about. So what I would love to hear today, we're going to get into your own personal story of big change, because you've changed it up on pretty much every area of your life over the past like 4 years. So I can't wait to hear about that. But also, you have in the last, is it 3 years since you started The Lifestyle Edit?
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. Interviewed so many fascinating female entrepreneurs and really dug deep into what has made them successful in what they do, where they've struggled, how they've overcome those struggles. So I think hearing some of the insights that you have learnt through those 3 years of speaking to all those women would also be fascinating to kind of get into with you. But let's start off with you and your story. And let's go back to just before you decided things have really got to change. Where were you in life?
God, there was so much going on in my life at the time. And it's one of those things that people always say, was there that magic moment? I think at the time, it's always a kind of intuitive feeling. It's only when you look back in hindsight that there were so many little things that were going on that kind of built up to that specific moment. It was really strange. I had worked for so long to kind of, being a fashion editor was always kind of my dream job. And I remember sitting down and, you know, I would get into work in the morning, it was dark. I would leave, it was dark. Friends would, you know, make plans, and I would be that person who was just like hoping that someone would cancel, you know. And it's not like I was doing something else. I was literally like in my pajamas in my apartment, like not just like sleeping, because I was just chronically exhausted. Mm-hmm. You know, I would get into the office at like 7 o'clock and I wouldn't leave until like 10, and would carry all of the work over into the weekends. And I just didn't have a social life. And my relationships were suffering. I was in a really kind of bad relationship at the time that I just didn't have the courage to get out of. There was just a lot of things that were going, that were happening at the time. And it was a really, I mourned because I was like, you know, I've dreamed of having this job and I'm here and I'm just really unhappy. And I remember I was getting a flight to New York and I'd done an interview with an incredible woman for one of our kind of life and style cover stories. And I looked in the newspaper on the way to the airport and it had been completely butchered. And I had fostered this relationship for such a long period of time. And, you know, I take so much pride in what it is that I do. So to see something that you've really worked on for such a long time to come into fruition and then it to be completely changed, I was mortified. I think I literally got on the phone to my mom as I was on the train to the airport in tears, being like, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And just even in my body, I just had so much anxiety. And when I was going to New York, it was actually for one of my best friend's weddings. And I remember I got there and I was staying with a friend of mine and she was like, I literally had to keep checking your stomach to make sure you were breathing. Because homegirl, you were out for like 15 hours. Like I just slept. I literally just like slept. You know what? It's just like the anxiety, everything had just been like building up in my body. I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
I just had enough. And it was a really scary moment because it's like, I've built up so much for this. Like, what next?
Because this was the dream. This was the dream, wasn't it?
This was the dream. And, you know, I was really fortunate. I became a fashion editor at 23. So,
my God.
So I kind of had that. I kind of got to that place really early. And, you know, that's why I love what you guys do, because people think always that it's about reaching this goal. Like, when I get that, then I'm going to be happy. And it's not, and that's why you end up having moments like that where you end up in a bit of despair because you've reached that shiny penny, and it's not giving you all of the things that you thought it was going to do. And you realize that actually it's about, you have access to those things now. It's about bringing that into your life. And I didn't realize that at the time. So I had that moment and I'd been thinking about this concept for the lifestyle edit for a really long time, kind of been going back and forth. At one point I was going to do it with one of my colleagues, but the way that she wanted to take it was not how I envisaged it in my mind. And I started slowly working on the content and it was just bringing me so much joy. So I'm in New York now. My friend was getting married in the Hamptons. We were on the way up. I was talking to the friend that I was staying with and I was just like, I really want to do this. Like, I really want to do this. I get to speak to so many incredible women. And why is it that it's always about the product? One of my last interviews actually was with Tamara Mellon. And it was when her non-disclosure agreement with Jimmy Choo had just come to an end. And we had the most incredible afternoon. And she just had so many amazing anecdotes. And I remember going back to the office being like, I have hours of transcript here that's just not going to make it. And it's going to be very kind of surface level. You know, she's got a new collection out. Go buy it next week. But how many people have the opportunity to speak to someone like her who's had so much experience building brands and, you know, that whole behind the scenes story? I was like, I really want to create a place that creates a platform for those stories and not just kind of celebrating where people are right now, but the missteps and the trials and the tribulations that have contributed to that moment. So these are all the things that were kind of swirling in my mind. She was just like, do it then. Why don't you do it? And I was just like, oh, good. You know, that friend that's just like, do it. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm just going to go and quit my job. And she's like, yeah, that's what you're going to do. Like, what is the worst that can happen? And I was like, oh, but, and I realized it's so often, it's these superficial things that keep us from kind of taking those big leaps. She was like, okay, what about, I was like, oh, but what about my house? She's like, you know, you go and stay with your mum for a little while you're trying to figure out, you're obsessed with your mum, your mum's obsessed with you. So, you know, what's the big thing? You want to come to New York for a while, you know, test the waters. You come and sleep in my bed. Like, what is the worst that can happen? Mm. You know, and I was like, yeah, this is true. She's like, the worst that can happen is you go back to doing exactly what you're doing right now.
Mm.
She's like, you're educated, you have this experience, you've built this network, and you know, you have these contacts. And I was just like, yeah, this is, yeah, I actually can do it. And I think that's why sometimes you need those people around you that are kind of, that push you in those moments. And I do it now all the time when I had those kind of big crossroads. Like, I always ask my what's my worst case scenario? And yeah, more often than not, our worst case scenario really isn't anything to kind of cry about. And, you know, I'm still young. I'm still in my late 20s. Like, I have time. It's not the end of the world. But I just knew that if I didn't do it then, I would really regret it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I came back and started the lifestyle edit.
So you started the lifestyle edit, and so you were doing that alongside your demanding full-time day job. How long were you doing that for?
I'd say about, okay, so I left in October. I started working on it that year. But when I say working on it, it was like kind of fleshing out the idea, what it would be, who would be the types of people that I was interviewing, started pulling a list together, started organizing the interviews. So it was very much like the groundwork. It was literally the moment. So I left in the October, the site went live in the February, and that was like shooting everything, getting all of the kind of content uploaded, doing all of that kind of stuff. So that first, say, 8 months was really about crystallizing the idea and actually getting a plan down. Of course, that changed as soon as the site went live, but it was all that kind of like prep time.
Yeah. And so as that was all going on, what was happening with your relationship? But that already ended, because that's a whole, I mean, if you're up for telling us a bit about that story, that's
oh my
a
God.
Different thing as well.
Yes. I was in a, it's so funny. Yes, you're right. It was, looking back, it was like, God, there was a lot going on at the same time. My relationship was in a really, really, a really dark place. I was just so morbidly unhappy, and it was so many years down that me feeling so morbidly unhappy was just the norm. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It was only when I would have those moments when I'd kind of speak to friends, or I'd speak to my mom or my sisters, that they would be like, okay, like, most of the time I just listen to you and let you kind of dribble on, but I have to tell you, like, none of this is normal. Mm. But for me, that had become my normal. Yeah. And you know, I was in a relationship with somebody who had so many issues. You know, a couple of years in, discovered that they had a child that I never knew about. It was just like deception after deception after deception. And you know, I don't blame him at all. He had his own issues, but I was actually hurting myself because I just did not have the courage to walk away. Mm. And again, we were talking about this before we went on, but people don't realize that to take those big steps, it really requires you to go inwards. It's not just about the doing, it's about doing that self-work. And it's funny because I've had so many candid conversations with my mom, and I said to her that, you know, I came from, my parents separated when I was very young, and I didn't realize until I started really digging deep that I always kind of looked at her and thought, why couldn't you have just made it work? Surely, mm-hmm. like, you could have just worked on it and you could have just made it work. So I realized that I had always brought that into my relationships, that even if someone was incredibly disrespectful of me and just the relationship just was not serving me, I just had in my mind that, you know, if I work harder, I can make it work, you know?
I think that's quite a common thing for women. Maybe men are the same, I don't know, but certainly from my experience and speaking to a lot of women in those kinds of relationships, it does seem really common that we're hardwired
to really fight for it and try and make it work when actually it's not working for us at all. But like the survival of that relationship becomes more important than our own happiness, our own well-being, and, you know, and our own fulfillment. It's just like, no, it's the relationship is king, and that is what we must protect.
Totally. And I think it's funny because my friends always used to tease me and say that I'm like Charlotte from Sex and the City. I was always the one that like was like, had to do everything the right way, 2.4 family, you know, the whole kind of thing. And I think, and I realized, yeah, because I never had that, I yearned that so much. It was like, even if that person was definitely not the person that I should have been having that with, it was like, okay, but you're the person right now. So how can I make that fit into this kind of box and this picture? So it just kept going on and on, and I think I just got to the point where it was just like, I'm just tired of like not feeling happy, like this kind of sucks, you know, this kind of sucks. And one day I just kind of said to my mom, like, Mom, I'm coming home, yeah, can you just come in the middle of the day and just like help me pack my stuff? And I left, and it was like, like, it was just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Because I just, I just never had the courage to do that. But you know, it was also affecting my friendships. You know, I was just, I felt sorry for them because they were just like, I feel like I've been hearing the same thing from you for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. Like, something's got to give, or just stop talking about it. And in doing that, I really had to, my self-image completely changed. So professionally, that had changed because now I was starting my own thing, and it was, you know, I was no longer, hi, I'm Naomi from X, Y, and Z. It was just, I'm Naomi.
Yeah.
And, you know, where so much of my identity was part of being part of that relationship, I was also having to carve this new identity as a single person. I just didn't know what that I didn't know what that meant. And also because of everything that was going on in my work all the time, and because I was so exhausted, I'd kind of forgotten about my friends. So it's funny because they were like, dude, like, we've just been waiting for you to hang out with us. Like, you forget that, like, we've all been here, like, waiting for you. But I had to all of a sudden be like, oh my God, what do I do on a Friday night? Because I just, what do I do on, like, the weekend? Because I just, I'd so neglected that side of me. So it was literally like building a business from the ground up and building myself, you know, building myself.
All at the same time. All at the same time. You know what's funny? I had a very, it was, now I think of it, it was very similar for me. I was in, when I was in my mid to late 20s, a very destructive relationship that blew up. My life was like, basically just had burnt to the ground, was starting up my own business. It's funny how sometimes these things, it's like rebirth of everything. It's like, wow, okay, let's just hit everything at the same time. Let's just start from scratch across the board. And just, and it is, it's about your identity and kind of going, who am I and what do I want this life of mine to be full of and all about? Because actually I've stripped everything back. Let's just start again and let's actually think about it this time, rather than going, oh, I know I want this, oh, I know I want that. Like you say, you know, going, this is what I want, so I'm going to try and squeeze this relationship into that mold and like push it towards the finish line, which is the marriage, the children, and then the happily ever after, which we've been promised from the fairy tales. And exactly. So, and that's the golden, wonderful dream career that I want, and like push myself towards that, never questioning if it's the right thing, if it's making me this unhappy and burning me out. So when you do get to the like kind of, it's just, I've just stripped the whole thing back and just burnt the whole thing to the ground. It is terrifying, exhausting, but it's like, for me, I always said this is where I began to actually create my life from the heart and consciously at and that was the beginning. Like, the worst time in my life was also the best moment in my life, because it all began again. And it sounds like really similar for you, and I do hear these, you know, and I bet you hear these stories of like, just, you know, renewal, just starting again, everything just falling apart, and then rising up out of it stronger, clearer on who you are, and actually following your heart. Yeah.
It's true, because I think sometimes you have to let go of those things that are no longer serving you across the board. You know, especially starting a business, it's so volatile. For many of us that have that kind of type A personality, like our whole self-identity and self-worth is so connected to the success of our businesses. I realize now that had I not kind of done all of that internal work and had that side of my life stabilized, there's just no way that I could have given what my business really needed in those early stages. And it's so funny because as all of that was happening, that's actually how I discovered you guys. Honestly, that is how we connected, because I just emailed you guys and just told you how much like everything that you were doing was affecting me. And I'm a big believer that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And just hearing everything that you guys are talking about self-love and really kind of, yeah, as you were saying, like figuring out like, how do you want to feel?
Yeah.
How do you want to feel in yourself, in your relationships? Was such a really big turning point for me. And yeah, I just really took time out to kind of figure out those stuff. Like, yeah, what do I enjoy? Who do I enjoy spending time with? And also I let certain friendships go in my life that just were not serving me anymore. I think so many of us kind of hold on to friendships out of nostalgia. And, you know, if you were to meet them right now, you probably wouldn't be friends because, you know, you stick in certain friendships for longer than they need to also that aren't serving you. So it was a real kind of like mass exodus.
I did the same. Yeah, again, exactly the same.
So much. It wasn't this crazy thing. It was like, I love you so much, but right now I need to kind of step away from this relationship just for me. I'm kind of, yeah.
Well, for me, it was actually recognizing that there were certain people in my life that didn't, as I was starting to learn to love and respect myself and, you know, give myself the love and respect that I wanted from others, it started to highlight the people who actually really weren't giving me much love or respect. And yet I was hanging out with them every weekend. And I was just like, actually, no, thank you. I'm going to head off and hang out with some other people. And wasn't easy, and they didn't like it, but you know, they didn't come running after me either.
And that's the whole point. It's about being uncomfortable with feeling uncomfortable, like making that space. And I think we do that. We'll hang out with that friend that puts us down and doesn't make us feel great, or stay in that relationship just because we're afraid of that white space.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I've been doing this for too long. I would rather dwell in that white space and create a solid foundation than have that. And also I feel like when you start stepping into your power and really start owning who you are, then the relationships that start to come into your life are attracted to that manifestation as opposed to still having one foot in your past, right?
Absolutely.
So the types of people that I started meeting, even when I started dating, were just so different to the types of people that I was attracting 5 years ago.
100%. You know? 100%. And as you know, we talk about that as well in Project Love, and we're talking about relationships. It's like, as you start to really love yourself, the people both that are attracted to you and the ones that you're attracted to completely changes. It's crazy. It's just like, but what I also love about, you know, hearing your story and you talking about self-love is that, you know, you see all the Pinterest pictures that go up about self-love and all the cliched stuff and all the quotes, but actually, and it does sometimes, it's a bit, you know, sickly sweet. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when you actually start to do it, and that's why I, like you say, the type A personality or any personality, but when you start going, actually, let's actually do this. Let's actually practically do this. You then realize that while, you know, on a poster with a sunset, it all looks a bit sort of sickly sweet. In reality, there's nothing more powerful than actually getting into that self-inquiry of does it mean to step into my power? How can I do that? What does it mean to actually practically on a day-to-day basis love myself, nourish myself, like myself, you know, and get into the ugh of actually having to deal with the self-loathing or the lack of respect or the lack of love, and kind of getting into all that
gross stuff that we have to face in order to get to the good stuff. But it's like, it's such a powerful journey. And I'm just interested with you now that you're getting into the kind of coaching sphere, and we'll get into how that all came about. But how do you kind of, what question am I trying to ask? How do you overcome the kind of self-help cliches to actually get across to people that these messages about self-love, like this stuff, these tools really work? They are our power, and they will take us into a way of living that is really deeply fulfilling and really connected and just life-changing. How do you kind of...
I think it's moments like this. It's always really easy to share these. A lot of the times when we hear this, like, self-love, blah, blah, it's always in a vacuum. I'm like, give me context. I don't want to hear just love yourself.
Yeah.
I want to hear about how you've done that and how that has kind of fostered an amazing transformation in your life. Mm. So it's been a real journey for me, because especially going from working in newspapers where it's very corporate and you're taught it's about the story, it's not about you at all. Now in my business, the way that I'm connecting and the way that I'm been able to have these incredible women who are sharing their stories and their vulnerabilities in different ways is because I've been now prepared to be vulnerable and put more of myself out there and kind of sharing those moments, so people are more willing to kind of jump on board. Because I can go all out woo woo. All out woo woo. But I've had a lot more people in our audience, in my life, in my friendships and my groups, that are now kind of really getting on board with some of the things that I'm saying, because they've seen the transformation in me. And talking about some of these, it's really, really hard. It's really hard. But the more I've done that, the more I've seen other people kind of embark on their own journeys. And for me, if me sharing more about some of these kind of hard moments encourages more people to embark on that inner work, then I'm all down for it.
I think also you've really hit the nail on the head, because it's all about getting into the story, getting right, deep diving into, like you say, putting it in context, going, okay, you say, self-love is the key, whatever. Well, let me tell you a story of how that actually worked out for me. Or as you do, sharing all these stories on Lifestyle Edit of women who, of their journeys and their stories. And suddenly it's just like, okay, now I'm getting it. And that's why I think what you do, what hopefully we do with our podcasts and that's why I love podcasts, because you can really get into it. And that's why I love the Lifestyle Edit, because you really go into depth into your stories that you tell of people, like really behind the scenes, really dig in. And it's just like, you can learn so much from simple conversations, like just really getting deep into conversations, but also storytelling. And you're a great storyteller, both of your own story and of other people's stories. That's for sure. So yeah,
because I I'm constantly growing in this as I feel more comfortable to share more aspects of my story. Because even this year, I've had my own personal challenges. Earlier on this summer, I had a second trimester miscarriage.
Oh,
and
wow.
it was probably one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. And I remember talking to my partner, Michael, and I was just like, oh my God, I don't know why, but I just feel my intuition is telling me that I need to share this story, because I feel like with entrepreneurship now, it is so, it's now the new buzzword. It feels like every Instagram bio says like entrepreneur, and it's this kind of really sexified thing. I'm making up words, but.
It's true. Well, I was just going to say, when I started out 10 years ago, entrepreneur was a dirty word. Before the economic crisis, entrepreneurs were basically akin to beach bums. They were like, oh, you're exactly. Like an entrepreneur now, like basically loafing around. And that was 10 years ago. It's changed so much. Now it's like sexy and glamorous to be an entrepreneur. And
exactly.
Like, yeah.
So I just felt compelled to share it. So I wrote a newsletter, and I just wanted to say to people, like, I know on my Instagram, I'm saying, I'm doing all of this kind of stuff, but behind the scenes, like I am hurting so much. And, you know, I have a 3-person team. So it's not like I'm going to be like, oh my God, stop. I'm going through a really hard time. Stop everything. I've got this amazing team that's a huge team that's just going to get things done. It's like, I still have clients who pay me and expect for certain things to be done. The day that I found out that this was happening, I had a friend's wedding and I had a supper club to host the next day. Like, it was just like there was no stop. And I think people don't share that, you know, when we run businesses and we run small businesses, that's just the reality. Like, so for me, it taught me so much about and it really shaped actually the way that my business ended up going, because I realized that I deserve to have those times when things happen in my life.
Yeah.
To have that solace. So I need to actually be building a business that enables me to do that. Mm. But it also made me really think about like my body and this I could go on and on about, you know, the impact that has on you as a woman. You know, you're so angry at your body for kind of doing all of these things, and it just took my level of self-love to like a whole new level. Wow. And I just felt that it was just so important for me to share that with my community. You know, the women that we feature are so candid and honest about their journeys. I always want to be sharing things in real time as they're happening. You know, it's not always about the shiny pennies and the amazing new launches and the this and the that. It's like, you know, I'm here building a business and having, you know, shitty moments too. That's just the reality. Being a more forthcoming is something that I'm kind of getting into, but I do feel like I owe it to my community to be as transparent as possible.
I think it's also for us in being vulnerable. I used to call it love on loop. I used to write a blog post, a blog called, it was a newsletter called Juicy Tuesdays. This was years ago. And I used to send it out every single Tuesday. I had to share something. And it was a time where my love life was just all over the fucking shop. So I wouldn't even necessarily talk about that, but the emotions that came up as a result, my life, like I had a very turbulent emotional life. And I used to share a lot of it. But in sharing that, being that vulnerable and sharing that stuff, you would get people writing back, which I'm sure you must get this, of just saying, oh, in you opening up like that, you've really opened up something in me and let me share something back. And I used to call it love on loop, because it would be like, I would open up and share my love and then the love would come back. And it's just like, this is where I want to be. Like this level of like openness and like sharing. And it's real connection. And that's at the end of the day, what we are all craving and where we all really want to be.
Exactly. And it's amazing because, you know, I've had people that I've never met before that are readers of my community and they're like, oh, I'm so happy for you. You know, you and Michael came on the podcast and we did an episode about making love and business work, but they've heard about me share kind of my story and how I got here. So when I say like, I manifested that man into my life, they completely understand what that means because they've been on that journey with me.
Okay. Well, back up and now tell me about Michael.
he's just so extraordinary. We met, I made a New Year's resolution that New York was going to be it for me, that, you know, no matter how I needed to make it happen, there's something about New York that was going to just help take my business to the next level. And so I made that vow and I met Michael 2 months later. I met him 2 months later. I was hanging out with a group of my girlfriends. All of them are married, two of which met their now husbands on OkCupid. And they were just like, okay, Naomi, you've done the whole single thing. Like, girl, you need to like get out there. Worst case scenario, like download OkCupid. Worst case scenario, you go on a couple of dates. You see like a few new areas in New York that you didn't know before. Like, you know, go out, have some fun. So I was in my Uber on the way home and downloaded the app. Michael was the first guy I matched with. We literally fell asleep like talking all night. And then he was like, you know, this is ridiculous. Like, I know this is kind of pushy, but can I take your number? Just because, like, we're just going back and forth. And you know what it's like, you're not in the app constantly. So the next day, I was actually leaving to go back to London. And I thought, you know what, fuck it, Naomi, do it. I was like, do you want to just go out for a drink? And he was like, yeah, sure. Then he messaged me being like, oh, do you know what? I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of work early. And I just, again, my whole mindset was like, new year, new experiences, like, New York is it for me. I was so, like, not attached to it. It was like, if something happens, it happens. But I hadn't been single for such a long time. I just wanted to be really lighthearted and just meet interesting people. So I was like, oh, no problem. Like, you know, kind of sucks, but like, okay, like, let's connect next time I'm in New York. Got back into pajama mode, like, you know, chilling. And he was like, actually, I could make it out. Like, can you meet me in like half an hour? So met the bar. Walk in, and it's the craziest thing. It was just like this insane kind of chemistry. And I remember I was sitting on my flight that night, last flight out of JFK coming back to London, and we were both kind of like, oh shit, like, what are we gonna do about this? And I got home and I was like, oh, you know, we just had an amazing date, you know, come on. And we spoke every day ever since, and I was back in New York a month later, and the rest is history.
Oh wow. Oh my god, I love it. And now you're living together.
Yes. So we're doing the whole thing, and I've just never been happy. And it's funny because I just got back from New York. Mike's gonna come and join me for Christmas, and I was just saying to my mom, like, I'm just so happy. And she's like, oh, when are you? And she's like, it's so funny. She's like, that, you know, now years in, like, you're still as happy as you were back then. And I'm like, yeah. And it's funny with friends, though, when I get back to London, they're like, oh, how's Michael, how's everything going? Like, and it's like, there's nothing to report. Like, I'm literally just as happy as I was last time I was here. There really is nothing to support. It's not like Tom Cruise, like, jumping on the sofa type happy. It's just like a deep in my core, like, contentment. Like, oh, this feels good.
Yeah, this works.
Yeah, this works. Like, you're my guy.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Wow. Oh, what a great story. And we still haven't finished it yet. Let's jump back to lifestyle edit. So you've been interviewing all these amazing women. We were lucky enough to be interviewed by you. We loved the way you told our story, which is why I say you're such a good storyteller. And really go into it, really get under the skin, go into depth. So people, get out, go over there and just read up some stories because they're great. So now you're kind of, as with businesses led by the heart, it's evolving. At what point did you realize, hang on, I'm interviewing all these women and I now want to start helping others with their business? How did that all come about?
Yeah, it's been a real journey. We're just saying off air that I'm now all about the 90 day business plan, because I'm generally quite a big ideas person. So I'm like, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And now I'm trying to be more in flow in my business and kind of follow things intuitively. So yeah, I get to interview amazing women for a living, which is awesome. But the no matter what type of business they're in, what they were doing, the commonalities were the same. And it's funny because the comments that we'd get from readers and the emails that we'd get or responses to our newsletter, those things would be the same. It was the same fears, the same concerns. So that was kind of going on in the background. And we started TLE Studio, which is our consulting business, about 6 months into starting the lifestyle edit. And it was just because I was interviewing all these incredible women and they were like, wow, I'm really focused on the product or service that I'm doing, but all of this other stuff, don't get it, not particularly interested in getting it. I'd rather have someone who I know, like, can trust, that gets that stuff, that can really support me, and we'd love for you to be that person. So that's how we started working with businesses. And it was so incredible because not only was I working with big corporate companies that I'd kind of known from my former life, I was working with all of these amazing startups. And again, the challenges were the same, right? So I realized that actually working with the big corporate structures, as much as it was incredible because I was learning so much about doing kind of bigger scale projects with bigger budgets, what I really loved was working with those small businesses and really seeing the work that I was doing have a big impact on what it was that they were doing. So that's kind of how we offshooted into the one-on-one coaching with these female founders, because I just had so much intel having worked with all of these different companies and the pain points of our community and these women. And I was like, I really want to take this further and kind of support more people in that process.
So what are the, you know, what do you see as these kind of common challenges?
The biggest one is, like I was saying, that a lot of people start their businesses because they are really committed to the product or service. And it's funny, there's a book that I always recommend everyone to read because it really is a life changer. It's called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber and is just phenomenal. And he explains it really well. He's like, yeah, majority of people, they start their business doing the product or service that they did in their former world. So for me, I was a writer. So I create a business that's all about content, right? And the trap is that they have, we have no experience doing all of the other facets of running a business. We only know that section. So we suddenly start a business and I'm like, oh shit, I have to do all of that other stuff and go into this kind of blinkered approach to, I'm just going to produce more products. I'm going to do a new range. I'm going to produce more content. That is not a business. That's a hobby.
Yes.
And very quickly, you start to resent all of the, resent your business and feel like you're trapped in a prison because you didn't realize that actually when you're working a 9-to-5, you're protected because you don't have to think about all of that stuff. So that is the biggest thing that I see with my clients is that they're in that like despair where they're like, oh my God, the thing that I started, I'm actually starting to hate because I thought that I'd suddenly get all of this time freedom and financial freedom. But it's like, no, you're not, you haven't actually built out the infrastructure of a business yet. You know, you have to have systems in your business that are constantly generating leads. You have, like, there's just so much. And that is where I completely come into my own. Like, I am all about the system.
Oh, clever lady.
All about, you know, it's about, like, what are the few things that you can focus on that will really move the needle in your business? Even just that mindset shift of every day, when you get to your desk, approaching it like that. Like, what are the things that really affect my bottom line? You know, what are the three things that I can achieve today that really push me, that push my business forward? And what a lot of founders don't realize is that sales is in the first stage of your business. That is everything. Like getting that structure of how you're regularly generating sales, that's not something that you can palm out to somebody else. Like that's you. That is you. And until you have that, you can't even start thinking about bringing more limbs and doing those new exciting projects or, you know, adding a new service because you haven't even got stage one done.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of small businesses fail. And he says this so perfectly in his book. It's like you're working, you get into that trap of working in your business rather than working on your business, right? As a founder, you have to be the visionary and the leader and kind of seeing like, what are the market opportunities, looking at the numbers, what do we need to be doing to take it to the next level, rather than being inundated in the minutiae. He calls it the technician and manager mode. When you're constantly in that doing, you don't have a business. And it's funny because now when I look back, I realize I love all of that kind of stuff. That's why I love like working with our commercial team. Like, how can we bring more money into our sections to really kind of build out that fashion section in the paper, you know, with the businesses that I was working with. Even with the interviews, I'm like, let's talk about numbers. Like, I want to know, like, I get the product. The product's amazing. We all know and love that. I want to know, like, the nuts and bolts. Like, what's going on? How did you, how are you able to scale to, you know, now taking in like 80 million revenue in like 4 years. I want to know that.
Yeah. And
so now it's kind of, I'm like, yeah, actually that is the thing that really lights me up. So I'm all about working with these founders and creating these kind of sustainable systems, and whether that's marketing, whether that's social, whether that's, you know, just getting a sound kind of financial model behind the scenes to really allow them to work in their mode of genius, because often it is about the product or service that they're creating.
Oh god, amazing. So 2018, what can we expect to see coming out of Lifestyle Edit that helps people who either have businesses or are thinking of starting a business?
We've got a lot going on. So 2017, we really amped up our in real life experiences. So we did a survey, and a lot of our readers were saying that it's amazing that, you know, you've created this community of all of these incredible women, but we want to be able to connect with more like-minded people too. So we started a supper club series, which has now become my most favorite thing to do. So we're taking it across different states in the US. We'll still be doing London and New York is always going to be our kind of home bases, and we're taking that to the next level. So just to give you a bit of background, our supper clubs are all about kind of getting these curated groups of women that are like-minded, that are doing similar things, to help you connect in real life and kind of forge these meaningful relationships. I feel so fortunate that I get to meet these people every day by virtue of the business that I'm in, but yeah. I know how tricky that can be. So when we're going to be moving to these different cities, we're also going to be bringing in real life workshops that really take some of the themes that we talk about both on our podcast and on the website further. So for those women who are a little bit further along in their journey that kind of need that support in, you know, scaling up and kind of taking things to the next level. So workshops are going to be a big thing. We're also going to be doing more workshop style webinars. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult because I love the storytelling aspect about people's journeys. So I really want to keep that on the Lifestyle Edit, but it's really important that with through the workshops and those kind of in real life experiences that we're really able to start supporting people with really nuts and bolts, actionable yeah. advice that's focused more, less about other people's experiences and more about supporting them in where they're at in their businesses. And we also have a course that we're launching in spring, which I am so excited about. It's going to be kind of bringing in all of those kind of pain points and offering a solution to that. So we'll be able to support even more women than I'm able to do at the moment with our one-on-one coaching services. So it's been like long on my list to do. It was actually supposed to come out this year, but we've had so much going on that it's been pushed to the back burner, but it's definitely coming out in spring. I'm just so excited to share it. So yeah, workshops, masterclasses, and the first Lifestyle Edit course. So yeah.
Yes. So best thing to do is to go over to your website and sign up to the newsletter, right? And then they'll yes. hear about everything as it's launching.
Exactly.
Oh my God, Naomi, you are such an inspiration. I'm loving every minute of this. To finish up, I would like you, what has been, of all the interviews you've done, what do you think has been one of the biggest lessons that you've learned from speaking to all these female entrepreneurs? I'll give you a moment to think about that. Throw you on the spot.
there are so many that kind of come up, and it's weird because it's kind of been across the board. One of the first things that I've learned is about getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. Right. We've spoken about it today. The biggest transformations I've had in my business, in my personal life, is where I've created that white space. Right. And I've had to go through that moment of feeling uncomfortable for that amazing thing to come. So this year, I moved away from, you know, working with these bigger corporate companies that were a huge part of our cash flow. They were amazing kind of retainer clients that were such an integral part of our business. But I had to let those go in order to create space to be able to service our community in all of these ways that I've just been speaking about. That was a really scary decision, but I knew it made sense. So it's like those moments like that, like get comfortable feeling uncomfortable. And because when you feel that, that is that growth is there. And it's funny, there's another book called Playing Big by Tara Moa, and all of the women that I interview always say this, that there's a difference, there's two types of fear. There's that projected fear, like, oh my God, I'm going to be terrible. What if nobody comes? All of that. And then there's that fear when you're stepping into a place of growth. You're stepping into a space that you've never inhabited. You're kind of going to that next level. And I'm now constantly forcing myself to make that distinction. And I'm actively running towards those moments when I am kind of doing something that feels really terrifying because it's that next step forward. So definitely that. Another thing that constantly comes up in our interviews is about your mindset when it comes to failure. I think we all see the failure as this kind of, oh my God, doom and gloom, and our identities are so wrapped up in it. The women that I interview look at new opportunities and failure with curiosity. So they're like, oh, okay, let me try this. Let me see, okay, that didn't work, but why didn't that work? Let me look at the metrics. Was it that that product that we were offering was just too expensive? They wasn't there. Maybe we needed to love up on our audience a bit more and educate them. Or maybe we weren't listening to them enough. What were they saying? What was the resistance? So it's all about the mindset. So when you have those missteps and things that didn't work in the way that you wanted, how can you look at that with curiosity and use that intel to then fuel your next step? So it's constantly about making that feedback loop faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
And another one is about being serving first. The revenue will come. It's about really listening to your customer, your community, your audience. When you're so connected to them and you're constantly coming from a place of service, when you now want to launch something, they're ready for you. They're ready and waiting. It's not something that you have to scream about. It's not something that you have to feel pushy or icky. They're ready for that because they've kind of been on this whole journey with you. And the last thing I'd say is about not being afraid to ask for help and advice. I've been so overwhelmed with just how supportive this kind of entrepreneurial community has been. I think so often, especially as women, we're like, oh, you know, we feel like we're an imposition if we're asking people for advice. We've all been at that stage where we're just kind of, you know, learning through Google University and just trying to figure things out. Don't be afraid to ask. You know, people are so willing and generous if you can show that you're really committed and to making things happen. So don't suffer in silence. You know, whether that, I always say that there's so much free content out there. So before, you know, you contact you guys, for example, go to the blog, go to the podcast and see whether the questions are answered there first. But then if it's not, don't be afraid to reach out. And that was something that I was really afraid of in the beginning, because, you know, you have that, you know, who am I to, like, why are they going to be interested in anything I have to say? But the women that I've seen and I've interviewed that have really grown is because they have really been willing to put in those emails and those calls and with people that are further along in their journey, and just be bold and ask, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, exactly. It brings us right back to that question. What is the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Exactly. So do it. Take action. Go out there. Try things out. And yeah, exactly. Don't be so afraid of failure. It still hurts. It's still like, oh, you can have a little cry, but then go, okay, what can I learn? This isn't the end. This isn't a total disaster. Pick yourself up off the floor. It's all right.
And trust the process.
Yeah.
Every time I look back at those times that felt really uncomfortable, I'm like, yeah, something was guiding me there. Like, that needed to happen for me to be here. So the more and more I'm trusting, I'm seeing that, and I'm reminding myself that when those moments happen, it doesn't kind of derail me in the way that it used to. Because I'm like, oh, I might not understand it today, but I know that it's part of this bigger picture. And I need to, the more I follow that intuition, like, I'm good.
Oh, Naomi, you are such a wise lady, such an inspiring lady. I have enjoyed this so much. You have invigorated me.
I have enjoyed it so much. And again, I want to thank you guys so much, because you were so part of that journey. So it's so incredible that we've been able to come full circle today.
I know, and now you're on the show yourself. So, fantastic. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.